Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a dubwise jungle transition in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is not just to add more elements. The real move is to make the arrangement feel like it naturally opens up from spacious, echo-heavy tension into a wider, more urgent jungle payoff. If you've ever heard a transition that just feels expensive, focused, and kind of inevitable, that's what we're after here. Think of this as an advanced workflow lesson as much as a musical one. We're going to use stock Ableton devices, bus routing, automation, break edits, and a bit of resampling to create a repeatable system you can use again and again. And in drum and bass, that kind of system matters, because the genre lives on energy management. If the build is too flat, the drop feels weak. If it's too busy, the low end gets blurred. So we want control, contrast, and motion. First, set up your transition lane properly. Before you start drawing in every little effect, group your session into three main zones. One for drums, one for bass, and one for FX and atmosphere. That might sound basic, but it's actually a huge part of staying organized in a fast genre like DNB. On your drum bus, use a gentle glue compressor. You don't want to crush it. Just a little bit of glue, maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, is enough to make the drums feel like they belong together. On the bass bus, use a QA to clean up any problem areas and saturator to add some harmonic weight. On the FX and atmosphere bus, use auto filter and reverb so you can shape the transition more easily with automation. The reason to route early is simple. If you build the transition as a system, you can automate the whole vibe, not just a bunch of random individual tracks. That makes the move feel intentional. Now let's design the starting point. A proper dub section needs room to breathe. That means the sub is restrained, the drums are sparse, and the atmosphere has space to speak. Set the sub to mono. In live, utility is your friend here. Put utility on the sub and set width to 0%. Keep the sub simple, maybe just root notes or held tones. No wide low end, no unnecessary movement down there. For the mid bass, keep it short and conversational. Think offbeat stabs, call and response phrases, or little punctuating notes. The drums should also leave space. A sparse kick and snare pattern, maybe a chopped half break, works really well here. This first phase should feel controlled and spacious for at least 4 bars. That contrast is what makes the transition hit harder later. For the dub throws, use echo on a send or as an insert. A quarter note or dotted 3/8 delay can work really well. Keep the feedback moderate, somewhere around 20 to 40%, and filter the repeats so they sit behind the groove instead of fighting the main elements. That echo tail becomes part of the tension. Now here's the key move. Widen the upper mids and atmospheres, not the sub. A lot of people make the mistake of trying to make the whole mix wide all at once. In this style, that usually destroys the impact. Instead, build width where it helps the ear perceive scale. That means atmosphere layers, res harmonics, percussion tops, and delayed accents. You can do this with an audio effect rack and 2 chains if you want a clean workflow. 1 dry center chain, and 1 widened chain. On the widened chain, try chorus ensemble, hybrid reverb, or delay. Then use utility after the widening device if you need to tame the width a bit. The goal is not fake stereo chaos. The goal is controlled expansion. A good automation move is to start that widened layer at very low wetness, maybe 0 to 20%, and then open it up gradually over 4 or 8 bars until it reaches about 35 to 55% wet. At the same time, automate a high-pass filter on the texture layer so it moves from higher up in the spectrum toward the mid-range, but never down into the subzone. That way, the section feels bigger without losing mono compatibility or low-end authority. Next, the bassline itself needs to evolve rhythmically. This is really important. Don't just automate a filter and call it a day. Change the phrasing. A dub section tends to feel like sustained intention. Jungle feels more articulated, more chopped, more urgent. So in your MIDI, start with longer notes and sparse hits. Then in the last 2 bars, introduce syncopated pickups, a call and response pattern, or a short anticipatory note before the reveal. If you're using Wavetable, Operator, or Analog for the mid-bass or res layer, add movement with an auto-filter sweep or subtle modulation. A low-pass or band-pass filter with Myrit resonance can work really well. Then open, add filter over the transition so the bass gets brighter and more aggressive as the section evolves. A nice practical range for saturator on the bass bus is around 2 to 6 dB of drive with soft clip-on. That helps the bass feel denser without turning it into a mess. If you want a mid-layer sweep, you can move auto-filter from roughly 180 Hz up toward around 1.2 kHz over the transition. Just remember, keep the sub clean, and if you want width, duplicate the mid layer, high pass the copy, and widen only the copy. Now let's bring in the break energy. For the jungle side of the transition, you want movement to feel intentional, not like you just dropped in a full loop and hoped for the best. A better approach is to build from fragments. Duplicate the break to a new audio track. Then either chop manually in arrangement view or use sliced a new MIDI track if you want to rearrange quickly. Start with the break tucked low in the mix, then gradually bring in ghost notes, accents, and fills. Beat repeat can be useful here if you use it subtly. Keep the chants low, the grid tight, and filter the repeats, so they add momentum without turning the section into clutter. Drum bus can also help if you want a little more transient push, but stay restrained. You want the break to feel like it's waking up, not exploding all over the place. A solid arrangement shape for this kind of move is something like this. The first four bars stay mostly dubby and spacious. Bars 5 and 6 introduce chopped break ghosts. Bar 7 adds a more active fill or snare roll, and bar 8 gives you the full jungle reveal. This is where the transition starts to feel like it's locking into a new identity. Now let's think in frequency lanes. This is a really useful way to keep the mix under control. In the low zone, the sub stays centered and stable. You can even create a brief dropout or half bar mute right before the switch if you want more tension, but do not widen the low end. In the mid zone, automate the bass filter, atmosphere movement, and saturation. This is where the energy change should be most obvious. In the high zone, automate the reverb send on dub throws, push the delay feedback briefly for one last echo tail, and open the atmosphere just enough to add lift. A slight high shelf move on the top bus can help too, but keep it subtle. One nice trick is to automate the delay feedback up to around 35-50% for just one phrase, then pull it back. Or increase reverb decay on the last pre-drop tail, so the space feels like it opens right before the reveal. These little moves make the transition feel engineered, not random. At the very end, use a pre-drop fill to seal the deal. This could be the snare flam, a quick break stutter, a reverse reverb swell, or even a one-beat bass cutoff before the sub comes back in on the one. If you want extra movement, reverse a cymbal or atmosphere tail and tuck it under the final bar. You can also use auto pan on noise or effects at a slow synced rate to create a little pre-drop motion. Small details like that can make the transition feel much more alive. And here's a pro move. If you find yourself tweaking the same 8 bars over and over, resample them. Bounce the last 4 or 8 bars to audio and edit the waveform directly. Tiny cuts, reverse snippets, and filtered one-shots often sound more characterful than endless plug-in adjustments. Sometimes printing the audio gives you the exact tension you couldn't quite dial in with MIDI and devices alone. Before you call it finished, check the whole transition in mono. This is non-negotiable for club music. Put utility on the master or the transition bus and switch to mono briefly. Listen for anything that disappears or gets hollow. If that happens, reduce width, shorten delay feedback, or simplify the stereo processing. Rebuild width using higher frequency content only. The low end should always stay strong and readable in mono, because that's what makes the drop hit on proper systems. If you want to move even faster on future tracks, keep thinking in energy lanes. Anchor, motion, atmosphere. Every sound should know its job. If a layer is trying to do all three jobs at once, it usually causes confusion. Also, pick one undeniable anchor for the section, usually the sub or the snare, and keep it consistent while everything else morphs around it. So the big picture is this. Start narrow and controlled, widen only the safe layers, evolve the bass phrase, build the break from fragments, and finish with a clean pre-drop moment that makes the jungle section feel like the obvious next chapter. That's how you turn a dubwise pocket into a proper jungle transition in Ableton Live 12, without losing the vibe, the low-end discipline, or the impact. Now go build it, bounce it, check it in mono, and make that handoff hit.